The goal, the responsibility, the absolute requirement is to provide farmers, ranchers, growers, and everyone within America's agriculture and food value chain certainty and predictability during these very, very difficult times.
On Tuesday evening, the Senate voted overwhelmingly in favor for the final version of the 2018 Farm Bill. That was Kansas Senator Pat Roberts, you just heard, speaking on the floor of the Senate. 13 Republican senators defied their party leadership and voted against it. Every Democrat voted for it. The $867 billion plan now awaits approval in the House and a signature by the president. It allocates billions of dollars in subsidies to farmers throughout the United States and prevents significant changes to food stamps that Republicans originally proposed. Joining us to discuss all of this is Liz Crampton, agriculture reporter for Politico. Liz, welcome again to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
So the bill is on the House floor today. Is it expected to pass easily, or do you see this running into any snags?
That's right. We're finally in the final stretch for the Farm Bill after months of negotiations. The House is set to vote on it today. It cleared a procedural hurdle late last night and is expected to pass today. This time around, unlike when it was considered earlier this year, Democrats are expected to get on board in large numbers, due in part to some pretty significant changes that were made to the bill during conference negotiations.
Let's talk a little bit about those changes. I know one of the concerns for Democrats were stricter requirements on food stamps. What would those requirements have looked like?
So what it would have done, and this came from House GOP, led by Speaker Paul Ryan, you know, who wanted to achieve a slice of his welfare reform agenda, and it would have imposed stricter work requirements on between 5 to 7 million food stamp recipients, would have required, you know, additional steps for them to make in order to receive monthly food stamp benefits. Democrats want nothing to do with that. They wouldn't cooperate. And so in order to get it through the Senate, they had to shed those controversial proposals.
What about the subsidies themselves? What are some of the specifics there? What should farmers be expecting?
So for the most part, the farm safety net is going to be unchanged from when the last Farm Bill passed in 2014. There was one House provision that made it in there that will allow more members of a family working on a farm to receive benefits, cousins, nieces, and nephews. So some of those family farms will be able to qualify for more cash. But for the most part, it's pretty status quo when it comes to, you know, what assistance farmers can get from USDA.
How is it that the bill was able to move along so quickly in the past couple of days? What was the impetus for that?
Well, there's not a lot of time left in this legislative session, and lawmakers, like the rest of us, want to go home for the holidays. They're scheduled to be in until the 21st, but of course, we have an impending fight over government spending and on adding to the equation, you know, the Farm Bill had to be passed by the end of the year. So they only had, you know, not many legislative days to get this done, which is why it's, you know, full speed ahead.
One of the most significant aspects of this bill is that it will legalize the industrial production of hemp. Liz, give us a sense again for what hemp is and what types of products are made from it.
Yeah, so hemp is a, you know, pretty flexible crop. You know, it can be used to make fabric, it can be used in food, it can be used in like oils. And the Farm Bill, what it does is removes hemp from the list of federal controlled substances, which opens up a huge market for U.S. farmers to be able to grow and sell this crop.
And does this indicate that perhaps there could be bipartisan support going forward for potentially deregulating the actual plant itself, not just for hemp use, but beyond?
Definitely. You know, advocates for hemp have said this is, you know, an important first step to take. And that, you know, once this has been accomplished, it might open up the conversation for, you know, declassifying other crops as well.
Liz Crampton is an agriculture reporter for Politico. Liz, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.